John is going to be speaking on Proverbs 3, the first seven verses. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil.
Thank you, Dave. Good morning and welcome. It's a good time to be here, and thanks for coming this morning. So this morning, what we want to do, we want to look a little bit at this chapter, but my focus will be on verses 5 to 6. Proverbs, God's wisdom. These short sayings are very easy to understand and apply to our lives. They fall into the ancient category of wisdom literature. Other examples in the Bible are the Psalms, Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And if we were to look at Proverbs, it will help us avoid trouble. The good thing about it is that, as opposed to other books, in Proverbs, what we can see, we have these little nuggets. There's not a lot of narrative. It's straight to the point. Most of the book is written by Solomon. And if you were to look at the last chapters, it mentions other people who've written it. And the very foundation of it is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I'm sure you know this passage. Probably you know it by heart. Probably this is one of the proverbs that you've learned, you and I have learned, not only in English, maybe in other languages, when we were in Sunday school. It's very simple, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Two words, trust God. Chuck Swindoll said this. He said, you know what? These two words, trust God, are perhaps the most important words we have in the Bible. Yet, these two words, trust God, perhaps these are the most difficult words to apply to our lives. So before we, as we continue to dig in and look at this text, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning, to be with the community. You want us to be here this morning, Father. Look, you cleared all the things that we had to do, that we want to do. And you call us to be in this place this morning. And I pray for every single person who is here, Lord. Whatever things that they are thinking about, whatever things that are heavy on their hearts, Lord, whatever sadness, whatever issues that they are thinking, relationship, Lord, financial part, Lord, I pray that you would put these aside and you would call us, Lord, that you would direct attention to you and direct our hearts to you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It is indeed a privilege to be here and to look at these two verses. One of the privileges of leading worship and one of the privileges of looking at a text and being here and sharing with you is really for me, it's the opportunity for the last 2 weeks to think about the text, to meditate on the text, to read about the text, to look at other sermons in the text, to look at definitions. It causes me to focus. In Proverbs, it says about there are two paths. It says, do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, even shining even brighter till the full light of day. The image of the path, the image of the journey is central to our faith. It crystallizes our journey with God. Here, we talk about two paths. One is the path of the wicked, which is darkness. The other path is of the just, which is of light. Today, I think we tend to believe in a time of where everything is relative. Everything seems to be relative. It depends. There's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. It all depends. It seems all the paths are the same. It all depends upon you. But when we look at the Word of God, it says, no, there are two paths. There's one that is right. There's one that is wrong. There's one that is good. There's one that is bad. There's one that is dark. There's one that is light. And they will lead you in two different directions. I don't know about you, but for me, I've been on both. What about you? Have you been on that other path? And I'm not talking about at one point in your life you decided to be on one path and you keep walking on it. But every day, that decision, we are called to make that decision. We are called to choose every day which path are we going to be on. And if we were to go back earlier this year, Pastor Allen did a series on Ecclesiastes. And I don't know whether you remember, he talked about the two worlds. He talked about the two visions. He talked about the two paths. One of the paths was the path of the sun, where you toil, you work, and everything is worthless. And the other path is the path of the Son, Jesus Christ. The table later on we're going to celebrate here. It is the path where everything is worth it. So this morning we want to look at these verses. And the first one is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? What does the word trust mean? It is a word that is thrown around. And here we are called to trust with all our heart. I want to take a few moments to look at some of these words. In Hebrew, the word trust means to lean with your full body. That is what trust is. Today, when we think of trust, we think about confidence. But in the Hebrew language, to trust means to lie down completely. If you're resting in bed, all your weight is on the bed. Your full body is there, is resting on the bed. And the word trust, this is what it means. To trust in God, in Hebrew, is to put your whole weight on God. Not some of your weight, but completely, is to let your weight, to drop yourself completely and let God hold you and hold your life. That's what trust is all about. So when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, it says, give your whole life completely, all the loads, all the issues, all the problems, give it to God. Trusting in God completely. In other words, one of the writers says, to trust in God completely is to desire His presence completely in all the facets of our lives, in all the components of our lives. You look good this morning. Some of us even smell good this morning. But I wonder, when we are inviting God to trust in all our lives, in all the parts of our lives, what we are asking God is that we desire your presence in everything that we do, in everything that we want, in all our desires, all the time. And even in your and my secret places. Do you have secret places? This morning we've been singing, be still and know that I'm God. This morning when we all dressed up, we smell good, we are here, it's very easy to think about God, to focus about God. What about the other times? What about the other areas? What about in the messy part of our lives? Do we trust God with that? Do we trust God to say, you know, this part of my life is a mess. I have no control. How much control do you have on your life? How much control do I have on my life? How much? Are we able to trust God in the secret places, in the messy places, places we don't share about with anyone? You know it, I know it. Can we invite, can we desire God to be there? This is what it means to be wholehearted and trust God and invite Him to be there and say, look at the mess. I invite you to be there. Trust. And we need to believe and not doubt. This is what James tells us. And further in Hebrews, we're invited to draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. So we are called to draw near to God, regardless in what areas it is. We're invited to have complete confidence in Him. And the psalmist says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, and that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Because there's a promise. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield. The second part is lead not on your understanding. So we talk about trust. Trust meaning completely rest upon God. Put all your weight on Him. The other piece of the verse, the other part of the verse, it says, lean not on your own understanding. As opposed to trust, lean means to rest upon something for partial support, to lean on someone. I can see some of you are leaning a little bit on each other. It's not your complete weight. If you were to throw all your weight on that person, probably you'll see the person move away from you, isn't it? But we're just leaning a little bit. And normally it says to lean like as if you're walking on a cane. You're trying to get some kind of support. But here the word tells us, Proverb tells us, don't lean on your understanding. Understanding refers to the mental process that we use to figure out things. We break down problems and issues. We try to figure it out. When we talk about understanding, it says use your mental powers. You can think about it, but do not lean on it for total support. Even if you understand what the issue is, even if you know what you need to do, even if you break it down, even if you think what the solution could be, it says don't lean on it. Trust God completely. You may understand part of it, but the bigger issue, it's not in that. It's supposed to be on God. Give it all to Him, completely to Him. Basically, what God is saying, as you go through life, even though I've given you the intellect, even you have the smarts, I want you not to trust in these things, but to rest with me, to trust me. The secret is really with a relationship with God, trusting only in God. That doesn't mean that we have no confidence at all. We are not to lean on our own wisdom and ability, but to trust in our God who is the wise one. Because we, as Paul says, we are not sufficient in ourselves to think. Because a sufficiency, a completeness, is found in God. So we look at the word trust. We look at the word lean. Now we are looking at the word to acknowledge. Acknowledge your Lord in every step, in every decision and direction. What does that mean, to acknowledge? It means to know God. Know God is an invitation to know God intimately. It is an invitation to know Him intimately, deeply, personally. And if we invite Him to come into our lives, and if we know Him in every area of our lives, He will direct our paths. What would be the opposite of acknowledge? How about to ignore, isn't it? Now, do you ever ignore God? For me, is that if I'm not inviting God in every part of my life, it means that I'm ignoring Him in that part of my life. But here, the psalmist, Solomon, he says, you know what? In all your ways, know Him, invite Him. This is the invitation to you and to me this morning. In every single part of our life, know God, acknowledge Him, don't ignore Him, don't shut the door on Him. Ask Him to come in, invite Him, and say, Lord, take this. I want to know You in this. If you notice, you're going to find in this, He talks about not the path, but He talks about paths in plural with an S. In all your ways, in all your paths. What does that mean? In all your ways and in all your paths. What does that mean? For me, what it means that every day when I get up, there are a series of ways in front of me. And there are a series of paths in front of me. Not only that, throughout the day, this is what happens. There are all these paths in front of me. And what God is saying, in all of it, in all of it, all these paths, He is going to make it straight. Basically, what it's saying is that acknowledge your God in every step, in every decision, in every direction that we take in our daily living. He's the God of creation. He says in Revelation, He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Sorry. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the one who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty, and the beginning and the end. I am the beginning and the end. I'm the beginning and the end of everything. I'm the beginning and the end of every issue. I'm the beginning and the end of your life. I was taking a walk yesterday, talking to a friend, and he was telling me how he was caring for his mom. And then he came to the realization that he has zero control on her life, on her illness. Do we, in all the issues that we deal with, I have so many stories I can tell you about people just tripping, People going on vacation. A friend was telling me last week he went on vacation for 3 weeks in England. And he said to me, you know what? This was the first time I was going on vacation with my wife without the kids. They were looking forward to it, to spending 3 weeks in England visiting without the kids. The first day that they were in London, his wife tripped and broke her ankle. The first day. And for the next 3 weeks, she was in a wheelchair. For the next 3 weeks of vacation. And she said, and he said to me, you know what? But London is a very accessible place. I'm just looking at Steve. Steve can tell you the story. He was just sharing with me. We can trip anytime, physically. Let me ask you this question, though. Can we trip emotionally? Can we trip spiritually? We have no control. But the one who says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the one who is, I am here. I was the one before. Proverbs was written approximately around 971 before Christ. These words are eternal. I was reading, someone was saying, you know what? 10,000 years from now, whatever the issues that we are dealing won't matter anymore. 10,000 years from now, I'm thinking, wow, you're very optimistic. 50 years from now, maybe the things we are focusing on today won't matter, was it? The issues that we have today, you may be in very bad health. You may be getting old like all of us. Would it matter? Is our current sickness, would our current sickness matter 100 years from now? But what would matter is that if we were to know him today, acknowledge him today, there's a promise. We are asked to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the one who champions, who initiates and perfects our faith. He tells us joy is waiting for us. Philippians said, faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. The world says, you know what? If you see it, believe it. God says, believe me, believe in me, and you will see. We believe, therefore we see. We believe, therefore we see. I have a brother whose name is Solomon. I don't know whether it's by coincidence. In fact, he's very wise. I was talking to him a few weeks ago, and I decided to come to Canada, and he decided to go elsewhere. And you know what he said to me? He said, anywhere you go, the issues that we face, they are exactly the same. The problems, our human condition, the condition of sin, and us trying to see God and to invite him everywhere, regardless where you go, across the world, the issues are the same. It's about relationship. It's about money. It's about illness. It's about death. It's about suffering, isn't it? They are universal. One of the Westminster Catechism says, it's a series of questions. It says, what is the chief end of man? And it says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. How do we glorify God and enjoy him forever? It is in Proverbs. Trust with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. He will guide you. He will make your crooked path straight. He will make a crooked path straight. It is a paradox, isn't it? The more we want to control, the less we can. That's the narrative of the Christian life. It says, you want to have control on your life? Give it away. Surrender. Give everything away. Just give it to God. I remember when I was coming to Canada, I was a little bit rebellious. I received an anonymous letter. I believe it is one from one of my brothers. And in that was Psalm 1. It says, if the tree that grows, it is a tree that is nourished by the river, it grows, it always green. It's also Psalm 16. You make known to me the path of life. You want to know the path to take? As you get up every morning, there are so many paths. The psalmist says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Matthew says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. And you will find rest in your soul. At some point, you and I will have to face the hard stuff that we want to control, but we realize that we can't. The only way is to surrender to God. And I'm going to close on this. Proverbs, I'm looking at some of the moms and the fathers who are here. Proverbs, they were read as stories, as they were taught to children. I was looking at some of the moms who were coming this morning, and I was looking at the smile. I was turning around, looking at the smile on your faces when your little ones were here. But part of the invitation is that to read these Proverbs to the children and to teach them. I close on this. Coming, talking about trust. In Isaiah, it says, he gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And coming back to Psalm 16, verse 11, and I close on this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I hope you and I heard the invitation. At the right hand, pleasures forevermore. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. And help us to cherish your word, not only here, but as we move away, as we face the messes in our lives, Lord, the secret places we go to, Father. Father, we invite you to come. We invite you, help us to trust you, Father. It is so hard to trust you, Father, in every part of our lives. Father, through your Holy Spirit, Jesus, through your presence, teach us what it means to trust you completely. In Jesus' name, amen.